What do you think?
I think we're dead meat. Real dead meat.
You're dead meat!
Go ahead and laugh, you guys. If I ever find a little bastard that did this, you're dead meat.
Welcome to the Dead Meat Podcast, an extension of the YouTube channel Dead Meat. I'm James.
I'm Chelsea, and we're engaged, and we like to get scared together.
Yeah.
This week, we're doing a movie that was requested a bunch.
Oh, a whole bunch.
Because you got it in the comments a ton. I got a bunch of emails about it.
Yeah, especially because I did Wreck, and then all the comments were like, oh, well, if you're doing Spanish movies, how about... Mm-hmm. El Hoyo.
Yeah, the platform.
Even though El Hoyo means the hole, which is its Spanish title, which makes sense to me because while we were watching it, they kept referring to the hole and never really to a platform, even though there is a central platform that moves within the hole.
Mm-hmm. The platform came out last year. I think it premiered at Toronto.
Yes. Toronto International Film Festival in September of last year, and it was purchased for release by Netflix.
Yes, and I always know something is a new Netflix a release because that's when we just get like a flood of requests for a specific movie that I know isn't in theaters. So
yeah,
like,
it's like, I know I've never heard of this, but all of a sudden tons of people are requesting it. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, and I had no idea what it was. I went into it not knowing anything about it. Didn't know it was a Spanish movie, so that was a surprise when subtitles popped up. I was like, oh, cool, okay. I did know the basic premise because I did Google it just to see what it was.
I got the one line synopsis of
I instantly was very intrigued because it's a prison where the inmates on the top levels are given this platform of food to eat first, and the platform descends through each floor. You can eat as much as you want from the platform, and so therefore
probably there for like 5 minutes maybe,
so by the bottom, the people on the bottom don't get any food.
Yeah,
it's not a subtle metaphor, but I don't necessarily mind.
Yeah, so that's one of the things about this movie is it's definitely a movie where the message is the primary thing that it's doing. In fact, I read that it was based on an unproduced stage play.
I had the thought while I was watching this that this would be an incredible play.
Yes, and it was based on unproduced stage play, and they had to add more action to make it filmable.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the director, and see, this is why I get so worried covering foreign films is because one, I'm not as familiar with these people because, like, the actors in here, some of them are in a whole bunch of Spanish movies, and I can't speak with any authority on what they're normally doing. But the director, Galder Gaztelo...
Oh, yeah, we're about to fuck up a bunch of movies.
Oh, yeah. Urrutia, which I believe this is his first feature film.
Mm-hmm.
He made music videos and stuff before that, but he said that he had some difficulty adapting the script because the original writers were so bent on maintaining their message, which I think is probably a good thing because,
That's a funny thing, like a funny conflict to consider, like thinking about what the third act of this movie then becomes about preserving the message of something.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That is funny. Yeah, so definitely if you're going to watch it, which I recommend, it's...
I would recommend it too. I liked it.
It's cool, 95 minutes.
If you like Snowpiercer...
Yes.
This is... this movie, not to discredit this movie at all because it is very good, but it if you want to sell it to someone, it's what if Snowpiercer, but sideways. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because in Snowpiercer, they're moving horizontally throughout the train, and this is like
this
a
is
vertical.
A building. Yeah, it's a skyscraper, pretty much.
Yeah. Another thing it reminded me of is I just finished rereading Franz Kafka's The Trial.
Uh-huh.
And Kafka, if you're familiar with his work, deals with like Byzantine administrative bureaucracies and the irrational like facets of those things. And at least in The Trial, it's been a while since I've read any other work of his, but the protagonist is kind of this like personality-less person whose only purpose is to really like point out the flaws and try to fix and ultimately be unable to change any of the thing around him. And that's kind of how I feel about our main character, Goring, here.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not really... He doesn't have too much of a personality. Or really, I would say, he doesn't really have flaws. He's like this ideal in person form,
yeah,
who you follow, because like throughout this movie he's like, well, we should probably take care of the people below us, and it's the other characters,
yeah,
who kind of bounce things off of him.
They even kind of mockingly call him a messiah at, yes, certain points. Yeah, I also thought too of the Divine Comedy a little bit. I don't know how much of that is intentional, but especially like the numbers in this are weird. Like there's a floor 333, which is kind of bizarre that that's the bottom floor. And I know, and I'm not super familiar with the Divine Comedy, but I know in that the like number three is really important. And he, in that, Dante is guided by three different people. And in this, he is guided by three different people as well. So in the Divine Comedy, there's Virgil, Beatrice, and Saint Bernard. They each take him to hell, purgatory, and heaven. And then in this, you have like the first guy, Trimagasi,
who is
the best. We all love Trimagasi. I forget the second woman's name. A lot of these names, I even looking at the IMDb, I'm like, how the fuck do I pronounce these? I don't know.
Imaguri?
Imaguri, yeah. And then the third is
Baharat?
Yes. And so he's got kind of these three, I don't know.
Oh, wow. And they do kind of correlate to hell, purgatory, and heaven, I would say.
A little bit.
Because Trimagasi is very much like spitting down on the platforms, mm-hmm, below him, willing to do whatever to survive.
He does end up meeting him at the bottom at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The middle woman is the administrative figure, very neutral.
Yeah, she's trying to, because she purposely goes to the hole and is like, I'm gonna change it from the inside, I'm gonna put myself through it to change it, you know. So that's, yeah, almost a purgatory kind of vibe. And then the third guy is he is like one of the more objectively good characters in this. He even has a kind of religious angle to him. He's seeking to move upwards and pitches himself as a man of God, and he kind of uses that as his reasoning for wanting to move upwards and out. But then he is the one who helps Goring enact his plan and is kind of the good guy. And I liked him. I got super attached to him, yeah, immediately. And that's a strength of this movie, is I think the characters in it are, for as much as they're these kind of walking, talking allegories, which sometimes when you're trying to do, it's hard to make them human enough for you to care about. I cared about all these people. Regardless of how flawed they were, like if I'm able to get attached to a character in the third act of a movie, that's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if the Divine Comedy stuff is on purpose, but I think
it's fine. This movie is definitely one that the director intended to be as a springboard for discussion and debate.
Yeah.
Which is probably what a lot of this podcast is going to be, because the movie is pretty nakedly a metaphor for
capitalism,
class, wealth distribution, yeah, the class system, for sure.
This is a political movie. Mm-hmm. I was briefly looking at some stuff from the director talking about how it is, you know, as much as it is an indictment of capitalism, like right, like conservative social policies, it's also a critique of some leftist movements too, especially violent leftist movements. So, mm-hmm, it's, but yeah, I just played the game Disco Elysium, which I was really moved by. I still think about it a ton. And this movie reminds me of that game in that they are, I think, both coming from kind of leftist perspectives, but they are willing to address the issues inherent to all kinds of different social movements, even ones that they consider a step in the right direction, that often there is violence inherent to a social shift, and there is, you know, it's complicated, and humans are complicated. Human nature is complicated, and it can be really fraught. Do you know what I mean? Even if it's, you know, if it's a shift towards something you believe is right, often it can be really messy, and that's hard to reckon with. And
I mean, I guess we could just start at the beginning. We've kind of set up the themes, and then we could go through and touch on them more as we go through the,
I think that'll be best. Beats. I think the movie does a really good job of kind of having its themes and what it's trying to say unfold as the movie progresses. So it might be a little messy to just talk about the whole thing at once. I think this for this movie, it's useful to kind of go through the progression of the plot, especially since it's so allegorical.
So our protagonist, Goring, who kind of looks like Serge Tankian.
He does look like Serge Tankian, which is he's the perfect face then for this kind of...
I guess the actor
movement
is,
of the people.
I guess the actor is a well-known Spanish actor who does a lot of comedy, and that he was cast against type. Same thing with the administrative character, the woman who he meets with. She was also a comedy actor.
Oh, so wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But Goring wakes up, and he's in a cell on level 48 with this guy who I saw one reviewer call Spanish Hannibal Lecter.
I saw that review too.
Yeah, and
I adore him.
Trimagasi. I don't know why. He's probably around 60.
Yeah, he's an older
portly
guy.
Portly 60-year-old guy, and he is fucking great.
Yes.
And he kind of gives Goring and the audience an explanation of what's going on, where they are. They're on level 48, which is, 48 stories down. And
that means nothing to us yet.
No.
Yeah.
But I mean, he explains pretty quickly that there's a slab that comes through the hole in the middle of the room, and it's got food, and it's when it gets to their floor, it's all picked over, and it's all like, just kind of leftovers from the people who ate above
them. It
looks
like the leftovers of a medieval feast or something.
Yeah, but that doesn't stop Trimagasi from digging right in and eating everything up. And Goring is kind of, he's opposed to it at first because it's all leftovers, but he does take a clean apple and he says, I'll eat it later. The platform descends further to the next level, and then their room starts to get super hot because he took that apple. And if you take food for later, it'll heat up or cool down. As a deterrent, you are not allowed to save food. You can only eat when the platform's there.
Yeah, this movie does a good job at addressing questions I had about, because, it's human nature watching a movie. You're going to be like, well, why wouldn't you just take some food and save it for later? You can't, because they will literally bake you to a crisp or freeze you. Depends on what they're feeling that day, I guess.
Yeah.
So things like that, it does a pretty good job at answering. And I love, too, that it's implied just through the way that this building functions, that this is in some either alternate reality, future reality. It's some weirdo sci-fi universe, because the way this platform works is it just levitates through the middle of this building.
Oh yeah, I guess there isn't any kind
there's
of
no,
cable
there's
system.
No cables. Yeah. There's no, we don't know the mechanism.
Oh yeah.
Magnets.
Well,
I don't
also,
know.
Also, by the end we find out, like you said, there are 333 stories.
Yeah.
The tallest building in the world, the Burj Khalifa, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. I think that's got like 160 stories. So this is like twice the height of the tallest building.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make sense.
Right.
So it's definitely gotta be some kind. I mean, it's a science fiction horror dystopian film. Yeah.
That's the thing, and I think I haven't read too many reviews of this because I didn't want to color my perspective on it, but I just have a hunch that it's one of those things like Snowpiercer where people are like, this would never be able to exist. And it's like, that's not the point. You have to look at it like it is an allegory, and it's fine that there's no fucking way there would be this building that's 333 stories tall, and no way could a country build a system, like a prison system that looks like this and function, although maybe, who knows? There's a lot of surreal stuff going on here that if you start to nitpick it, that's not really the point. It's not supposed to be a realistic movie, I don't think.
Yeah, and this thing is, I guess, they call it a vertical self-management center.
Yeah, okay.
And Trimagasi is in there for a year, he says, because he got mad at his TV and threw it out the window and it killed a guy.
Right, because he saw some infomercials that he felt duped by. Because what happened was he saw an infomercial for a knife sharpener. He buys the knife sharpener. Then it's the same guy on a different infomercial saying, I'm selling you this knife that will never go dull. So why the fuck did I buy this knife sharp? And that's when he loses it and throws his TV out the window. And what happens is his TV hits an illegal immigrant, kills him. And that's what sends him to the hole.
Color commentary from Trimagasi in there, too.
But what I think that is meant to illustrate is I think Trimagasi because, obviously the hole is meant to symbolize. And I mean, by the hole, I mean the building. It's what they call the building is the hole. I think he's meant to symbolize he's older, he buys into the system, or if he doesn't buy into it, he at least has given into it, and he's the type of person that's like, look, if you play by the rules, you'll live, you know? And so he looks at, you know, well, the illegal immigrant, he was an illegal immigrant. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. So why was I guilty? I was following all the rules. That guy wasn't. I shouldn't be here. So he's the kind of, he gives Goring all of the rules, and he is like, look, it is how it is. He's never the one who wants to change anything, even if he thinks it's bullshit. He's constantly, he spits in the food and stuff before it goes down to the next floor because, well, the people above do it. It's just how it is. He's the it is how it is type of person.
Yeah, because Goring's like, why'd you do that? What if the people above us did that? And he's like, they probably do, so I'll do it too.
Right.
You know, the people below us are below us.
He is a completely static person. And I think, yeah, the coloring in of his story of him accidentally killing an illegal immigrant serves to make us realize that he's like, look, if you're not in the right place, like, all of us have our proper place to be, and this is just how it is, and if you're not acting the way it's supposed to be, then that's your